and thanks for downloading another episode of the Lions Roar podcast. My name's David Kendra, and this week we have highlights from the Lions' visit of Solihull Moors and Paul Cox's first win as the Lions manager in the league. A vital 3 points it was, and a memorable afternoon. We'll also hear from Johnny Maxted after the subsequent 0-0 draw with Boreham Wood. We'll also have an update from the Vixens and the Academy, as well as all the news from around Nethermoor. We'll make a start, though, with highlights from Nethermoor on Saturday afternoon as Solihull Moors came to town. We all remember what happened the last time that Solihull Moors came to Nethermoor, and this one was every bit as memorable. Commentary here from Nick Keefe and Colin Robertson.
Guys, he threw midway through the Solihull half.
And for all that we've been signing players, like three a week recently, the team that started today is pretty familiar looking, isn't it? For saying we signed two new centre-backs, neither of them in the team. For saying we've signed another big striker this week, Odejai is still playing that role for us so far today. So there's a little
this
bit of continuity here.
Holden with the long throw, goes into the box, up towards Palmer, gets the header, falls towards Fondop, just over his shoulder. He has to go away from goal, couldn't get it down. Fondop now lays it back here to Brown. Brown crosses into the box, finds Hurst, who spins, shoots at goal, just over the upright and behind for a goal kick. But good invention there. Good cross into the box and a brilliant spin on the ball there from Kevin Hurst. Just couldn't keep the ball down low enough to hit target. But good, promising moments there from the Lions.
This is a bit more promising. This is shooting range now. Not if Molyneux hits it the same as he did last time. But the angle's really good to shoot with your left foot from here.
It's to the right of the D. A few yards up from the 18-yard line. There's a four-man wall. There's Molyneux and Hurst both standing over it. There are about four or five players all lining up in Geise shirts ready to try and capitalise on any loose scraps. Now Molyneux will clearly take because Hurst joins the wall. Molyneux blasts it towards the top right-hand corner. Super strike from Lee Molyneux. Deadlock broken. Geise lead. It's Geise 1. Solihull Moors 0. And Bowen goes back to the hoardings, preparing to launch this one long, and he does, up towards the edge of the six-yard box. It skews awkwardly in the air, still in and live and dangerous as it's held back into the penalty area. Carter gets a shot, still in there, still Solihull have it. Santi trying to turn on the ball. Richards out to the right-hand side, still Geise can't clear, and there's a shot that comes in and into the back of the net from the substitute Oladapo Afolayan. Geise just didn't clear their lines well enough, and Afolayan has scored an equalising goal. Geise 1, Solihull Moors 1. Just a minute on the clock to go of normal time. Just wait to see what stoppages there'll be. Bowen just nutmegs Hurst, takes it down the left-hand side. He's still got options in the box. He crosses out towards the back post, up towards Green. Takes an awkward flick off Molyneux. Green collects the loose scraps. Shot comes in. Well saved by Maxted. It fell kindly. Kwasi Asante.
Big time.
A throw will go into the box now from Holden. Up towards the six-yard box, hits the head of a Solihull defender, and then Lenigan tries to get the ball and then has a loose touch. Counter-attack on here for Solihull Moors. They've got more players than the guys who have defenders at the moment, 3-2. It's now here on the right-hand side, played into the box towards Murrumbetti, who gets the ball past Maxted but can't divert it towards a goal. It's taken a deflection actually in there and behind for a corner kick to Solihull Moors, and that is a lesson in turning attack into defence. Yeah, like I say, six Geise shirts to aim for on the edge of the 18-yard box. It's a decent ball into the box, headed away by Daly. Geise still don't get the second phase, unlike the play that led to Solihull's equaliser. And now Hilton puts a jetpack on to try and get past Mbungo on the counter-attack. He's into the area and then it's tackled. Plays the ball back infield. Tackle comes in there from Palmer. Still, Geise can't get the ball away. And eventually, up to the halfway line. Now counter-attack on here for Liebert towards the edge of the 18-yard box. Liebert into the penalty area. Spins past one, two, shoots, goal! The Lions have the advantage again. From one counter-attack to the other, just when it looked like Jermaine Hilton might punish his old club, the ball went forward. Liebert took it down, worked his way through two defenders in the penalty area, nestles the ball into the bottom left-hand corner. Geise 2, Solihull Moors 1.
Well, this game finally came to life with some end-to-end football there. As you say, Jermaine Hilton looking like he was about to take something out on his previous loan club. The move broke down. Liebert got away on this left-hand side at the end, ran into the area. made contact with the defender as he cut inside to get onto his right foot. Didn't go down, carried on running, cut it back to the near post, buried it at the very, very bottom along the ground, out of the reach of Vaughan. What a fantastic little bit of football. 2-1.
Fantastic. Scoreboard's not caught up. 65 minutes gone. The Lions lead by 2-1. Big half hour or 25 minutes or so now for Guiseley. Solihull look to respond immediately. Murrumbidgee. Infield. Hilton slips. Ironic cheers from Guiseley fans. Now back with Murrumbidgee on the right-hand side. He's got players to cross. If he can get it in there, he plays it low. And in. And an equaliser. An immediate equaliser. Afa Lion. The Lions switch off. The ball into the right. And Afa Lion just plays the ball with his instep of his foot. Past the goalkeeper. Into the bottom left-hand corner. Now quickly had the Lions gone in front. They've managed to work back an equaliser of Solihull Moors. And it's now Guiseley 2, Solihull Moors 2.
Peak Guiseley.
Yeah.
Peak
yeah.
Guiseley.
Yeah.
How frustrating. Because they nearly did that after we went 1-0 up in the first half. Switching off after the goal, letting the excitement of going ahead get to you. Concentrate.
Back underway. Guiseley let possession go out. So frustrating to concede so easily as well.
It was a nothing goal. The intensity was gone. The pressing had dropped.
So Guiseley now need to get back in front.
It's been a game of very few open chances, and that was an absolute gimme.
Holden now with a free kick. It goes long into the area. Lawler gets a touch on it. Guiseley have the lead again. Jake Lawler. Holden's long ball. Lawler stuck out a foot. It awkwardly spun past the keeper. They all count. Guiseley 3, Solihull Moors 2.
Jake Lawler could try that another 1,000 times and not do whatever he just did.
Out there, and this is a corner that Solihull Moors will take from that left-hand side. It will be wind-assisted. It floats into the box. It's set headed away. Looks like it was Liebert who did it. Now a counter-attack, which is led by Holden. Holden's only got Hurst ahead of him. Holden keeps going, though. He's got Molyneux infield. Plays a good ball to the back post. Found by Kevin Hurst. Hurst shoots over the bar. So Kettle on the ball again. Plays it into field here. Picked up by Courtney Richards. Trying to dictate play up towards the edge of the D. Hilton, reverse ball. Murrumbidgee inside the penalty area. Gets a shot blocked by Maxted.
Making any puns all game, but actually Solihull did have Guiseley kettled in their own half there.
Now there's a chance here on the counter-attack for Solihull. A shot comes from range. Great save from Johnny Maxted. He will. He blasts this into the net. Guiseley have a fourth. John Rooney off the bench with a great free kick. Low and hard into the bottom left-hand corner. It is now Guiseley 4, Solihull Moors 2. Referee blows the whistle. An excellent afternoon at the office for the Lions. 4 goals, 10 goals in 2 Saturdays. All's well in the world. Guiseley 4, Solihull Moors 2.
I'm over the moon for the players because I think the win's been too long a time coming. I think we've deserved to win games. You look at today's game, conditions, not very good for the blood pressure. And I'm just so pleased for the players, pleased for the club, pleased for the supporters. You see how much it meant to the supporters today, and it's given us a good base to start from. Loads of things we can get better at though, and once again, I'm going to use the word concentration. Those concentration patches come up and haunt us sometimes. We've just spoken here about so many good things we did today. You know, the chances we created, the threat we looked going forward. But the concentration levels when we just conceded, that's when we're at our most vulnerablest. And like I say, it's back to the drawing board in terms of one or two bits. But look, I just want to enjoy the win. It's the players, I think, have deserved it today. We look the threat going forward, and looking forward to Tuesday now.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen guys who rack up the goals. 2 weeks now and 10 goals in 2 weeks. The decisions that you're making, the players are bringing, are obviously having a big impact on us being able to finish in the final third.
Yeah, look, I think if you looked at Rowan coming in today, Rune's on the bench, and I want to be in a position where we look at whether it's 20 minutes, 40 minutes, 60 minutes, 75 minutes, and make positive changes that can affect the game, especially in the final third. And we had that today. Some big decisions in terms of changing personnel. Some of them were a little bit sort of pushed on us. We lost Will early on, which is, I think that's nine now we've got sat in the physio room. But the positiveness was Rowan when I think he came on. His desire to get in behind teams, the power and pace that we knew that he had, and the finish was excellent. And like I say, probably came in probably the hardest part of the game as well. So looking for more from him. But like I say, it's positive. It's nice to look behind me and being able to make positive decisions. And I think that'll hopefully bode well going forward.
Injury curse, isn't there? Will Hatfield going off in the first half. We actually worried a bit about Mike Fondop. We didn't wonder whether, because he'd gone down just a moment before, whether that was a change due to an injury or whether it was just a change you were going to make.
We were going to make the change. We was in that stage of the game where I think Soliol were throwing caution to the wind at that point. And in that period of the game, the rain's howling down, the wind's blowing. And, you know, we've sort of played Runes in a probably a little bit deeper position. But look, it's nice to make changes and have a positive impact on a game, and it's something that I want to improve on. I want to put as much stress on this group of players as possible, because you know, even though we're happy about today and we've won a game, there's a lot more that we can get better at, and you know, to do that, the one, we need to clear up the injury situation, but two, you know, there needs to be people looking over the shoulders continuously, looking at making sure that their performance levels are good, because if they don't, we can replace them.
A couple of great saves from Johnny Max said in the second half. The game seemed to get very stretched and he was called in to make some smart saves.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you analyse the game, for the first 25-30 minutes, you know, we've scored a great goal, Molly scored a great goal, but our shape, we dictated how the game was being played, and then we ended up nearly losing the, you know, coming in behind at half time. Johnny's, to be fair, he's been redundant in a lot of games that I've been here. One thing I say about Johnny is he's training now in a full time capacity. His hunger to get better is superb, and knowing him like I do, he'll look at that as being a positive now, with the things we've done with him in training that have really sharpened his you know, his senses. So look, a couple of fantastic saves, and but look, that's what goalkeepers are there for. They're there to stop the ball from going in the net. So needs a massive pat on the back, but I know he'll be pleased with where he is at the minute. He's in a good place in his head.
And so we've announced full time this week. How's that working for you, and being able to bring the players along that we've got?
Well, I was a little bit apprehensive, being totally honest. It's not easy just saying to players, "Well, you're going full time now." And then you come into your Saturday game and you realise that you've overdone it with players. Players aren't used to the physicality. We had a few, Andy Howarth, that just felt his thigh yesterday a little bit. Obviously Will. So I was a little bit apprehensive coming into it, but it was a massive decision that was made by myself, by the chairman and the board. And one, I've got to 100% say thank you to the chairman and the board, because I think it was a brave decision. And what I mean by that is, it's very easy when you're in a position like we were, to just feel comfortable and not step out of this circle, this nice comfy circle that you're in. We made the decision. We're going to do it. I think medium to long term, it'll be the best thing this club's ever done. I'm willing and prepared to take a few bloody noses, as I've said early on, to take this club forward. Sometimes you have to have a little bit, you know, a few tears along the way, and you have to upset a few people. But the medium to long term is what I'm looking at this football club. And for me, it's a massive decision, but a really positive decision. So, yeah, there's a lot of players on board. As I've said in previous interviews, it's not closed the door on anybody. The lads that have got the, you know, good jobs and training on a Tuesday and Thursday night. What we want to do, we want to help people. And in the same time help ourselves onto the next phase. So you know, if somebody won't be able to go full time, we want to help them into another environment where their future's looking good. But you know, ultimately for this football club, we can't afford to stand still now. We need to go forward, and you know, to do that, big decisions need to be made. And And like I said, there might be a few tears on the way, but I believe that we will be in a position where everybody's smiling in the medium to long term.
Two wins on the bounce. It's been a long time since we can say that at Guiseley. It feels like the ship is turning. Another tough test, though, on Tuesday night now in Boreham Wood, who won again this afternoon. We have a quick turnaround to get the players ready for that one.
Yeah, look, it's consistency I'm looking for. We won a game, we scored four goals at home, and look, to do that against anybody is tough. We scored 10 goals in two games, and people might say, well, it's a team from lower leagues and you're playing a team in the bottom four with you. I give the credit for the boys, that they've been absolutely brilliant in terms of how they've applied themselves. We need to get better at things, though, and if people don't understand me as a person, they will do, because we are still not in a position where I want this football club to be. And you know, I'll keep working hard, the players will keep working hard until we get to a position where, you know, we can sort of look at where we are, have a real look round and say we've improved as a whole, and then it's time to go again. So, because I always think you've got to be hungry, I think you've always got to go, and like I say, I came here for a reason, and I'm not going to rest until I see the club in a positive position. There's one thing that keeps annoying me with this football club, especially when I look on the national press, is that the word Guiseley AFC seems to be alongside struggling or poor or down there, and I want to see in a position that's nothing to do with press people, by the way, that's fact at the minute. We are struggling, we are down there, but I want us to be in a position where there's a positive words alongside our name, like I say, to do that, blood, sweat and tears, a lot of hard work, we'll get there.
Colin talking to Paul Cox there after the victory over Solihull Moors. So the following Tuesday, the Lions took on Boreham Wood. Boreham Wood going well in the league, up into the playoff places, and were looking to continue their fine run of form, but the Lions were looking to remain unbeaten in four games. Manager Paul Cox kept faith with the 11 players that had finished Saturday's game against Solihull, and Bungu coming in for Hatfield is injured, and Rowan Liebird coming in for Coyote Odejaye. But all too often, the ball was played up to Fondop and Liebird, only for David Stevens and Jamie Turley to soak up nearly every high ball, which left the home side battling for the scraps. Johnny Maxted pulled off a superb save from Bruno Andrade early on, and Darren Holden was alert to clear the danger shortly after as Wood sought the opener. Tom Champion went twice close for the visitors, and Liebird was inches away from converting Fondop's cross just before the break. The visitors looked the more likely to score in the second period, several balls being played across Maxted's goal, but to no effect. Well, the home side's most notable effort came just before the end, when Lee Molyneux forced Grant Smith to parry his powerful shot away. It's a point. It still leaves the Lions 21st in the table, but with Torquay and Solihull, who both sit below the Lions, winning at Ebbsfleet and Eastleigh respectively this evening, it's starting to get interesting at the foot of the table. It finished Guiseley 0, Boreham Wood 0. After the game, Tom Feeney caught up with Johnny Maxted.
Well, guys, the goalkeeper Johnny Maxted with me now after the 0-0 draw against Boreham Wood. Johnny, just how do you sum that game up?
It was a good game. Open game. I thought we'd done well. I thought we'd done what we had to do, and defensively was bang on, really.
Looking at it as a keeper, you know, when you were called upon, you were able to make the saves, but in terms of the defence, quite a tight line, wasn't it?
Well, that's it. It's obviously I'm there to make the saves, but the defence done really well today, especially Chris today. He worked his socks off, and Ash, and you know, you can't fault their performance.
And looking at it at home, 4 points out of the last two games, it just builds the momentum a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, that's it, you know, 4 points from the last two, it's what we want, really, and we've just got to keep doing what we're doing, and the results will start coming, and like I say, I can't see us having a problem.
And for yourself to be back, you know, in the starting 11, it must be a good feeling to be getting the minutes on the pitch.
Yeah, it's obviously, that's one thing I want to be, back in the starting 11. I've worked hard since Gaffer's come in, and we've gone full-time now, and that suits me down to a T, really, get my sharpness back, and you know, it's one of those things where I got dropped and there's nothing I could have done about that, but I just kept working hard and I've got my chance and I've taken it.
Hello, Chris from Guiseley Radio here. We here at Netherwell love to find new things, and as you support us, we'd like to support you. So if you're a musician or part of a local band and would like to hear your tracks played at the ground on match day, get in touch. Email your tracks as an MP3 file to chris.bell@geisleyfc.co.uk along with some information about your band, and you could hear your musical creations featured in our playlist at Nethermoor and be featured in our matchday magazine. Let us promote you as you play your part in building the pre-match atmosphere or keeping the crowd rocking at half-time. Don't forget, email chris.bell@geisleyfc.co.uk.
Also, don't forget, the Lions' chosen charity of the season is Give a Duck. This is a charity, its aim is to ensure that every child in the UK diagnosed with cancer is given a unique programme to help them through treatment. They're fundraising in partnership with Candlelighters and other charities in an effort to raise enough funds so that every child diagnosed will benefit from this wonderful programme. We're looking to purchase 100 of the chemo ducks. They're a soft, cuddly companion, provides huggable hope, alleviates fear and anxiety for children going through the very stressful time of chemotherapy. It's healing through the power of play therapy. We're looking to buy 100 of these chemo ducks across the course of the season, and we're doing very well so far, so thanks for all your donations so far. There'll be collection tins in the bar at every home game. Also, you can go to the website giveaduck.org.uk to make a donation and to get more information about that. Meanwhile, the Vixens were due to play Huddersfield Town in a cup match last Sunday, but that game was flooded out. Unfortunately, Storm Brian took hold and had to cancel both games. Their next scheduled fixture is at Nethermoor. The Vixens will take on Derby County Ladies. That's this Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. It's £3 in or free if you're a season ticket holder. After a week off, the Academy will return to action in the FA Youth Cup, where they'll take on League One side Fleetwood Town at Nethermoor. That's a game taking place on Tuesday, the 31st of October, a 7:45 kick-off, and that'll be free entry if you want to come down to Nethermoor, see some free football. The Academy have been in sparkling form at the start of this season and remain unbeaten and seemingly scoring goals for fun, so we can see if they can cause an upset there in the FA Youth Cup. That's against Fleetwood Town at Nethermoor, 7:45 kickoff Tuesday the 31st of October. We hope to see as many as possible of you there. Finally, in transfer news, manager Paul Cox has returned to his former club Barrow to sign midfielder Alex Ray Harvey. He's 26 years old. He's been signed on a contract. He was at Burnley's centre of excellence as a youngster and played for their reserves before being loaned out to Fleetwood Town twice, then joining Barrow initially on a one-month loan in 2012, making over 200 appearances for Barrow before joining us on Wednesday. Alex should be available for selection against Woking on Saturday on October the 28th. That's a 3 p.m. kickoff. It's an away game, of course, so if you wish to join the fans going to that game, you can still do so. It's as simple as calling Paul on 07518 445 861. That's 07518 445 861. The coach will leave Nethermoor at 7:30 a.m. to get down to Woking in plenty of time. It's £24 if you're a member of the Supporters Club and £29 if you're not. Remember, only costs a fiver to join. Now, of course, after this week's visit to Woking, the Lions will begin preparations for their FA Cup first-round proper match against Accrington Stanley. That game taking place on Sunday, the 5th of November, with a 2 p.m. kickoff. It will be sort of not quite live on the BBC. We'll be part of their final score programme, so they'll keep flicking to us and then flicking away to the other games going on in the FA Cup that day. So the only place to see all the action live will be at Nethermoor on Sunday, the 5th of November. There are tickets still available. They are on sale. They will be on sale at various points at Nethermoor this week. Also, you can buy them online at eventbrite.co.uk. Search for Geisley AFC, where you can also buy tickets for all of the home games this season. Obviously, it's going to be an FA Cup game, so come armed with your tinfoil FA Cups and be ready to cheer on the Lions in the hope of causing an upset. And that'll about do it for another episode of the Lions Roar podcast. Thanks very much for downloading. My name's been David Kendra, and we'll see you again next week.